sharing table, table set for the family. And again, there was the cup. The cup that was to be shared by the family together. It's a beautiful story. And it's a story that's not just written so that we could know about it. It's written so that we can experience it. Today we're talking about shalom, which has been part of our theme throughout this week. But now we come to a point in shalom that really is specific to you and me and where we are right now. Because shalom is within the community. You see, shalom begins at a personal level for each of us. It becomes a part of that expression that we have with Christ himself. But it can't stay there. It can't grow there. It can't become what it's planted to be unless we find the community. And the community then helps us to grow it. If your small group right now has a Bible in its midst, I'm going to ask you to appoint someone in your group to read a scripture for your group to listen. You have to scoot in close. You have to face each other. And I need one person to read from the Bible for your group. The scripture I want you to read together right now, as a family, as a community.
You'll need to come into the group.
It's from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 25. Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 25. Go ahead and read as a family, as a community.
On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone of his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, one of the twelve, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it."
About what a family can do, what a community is capable of. I think about all the qualities, all the images that come to my mind about the things that you can do with others that you can't do alone. I witnessed a while ago in our sharing here many of those aspects. We've seen it throughout the week, actually, in your small groups, at different times that we focus in different ways. You know, it seems that a community of faith has a specific power that goes beyond what we as individual Christians are capable of doing. And if shalom becomes a part of our personal experience, our only means of making it a community experience is to gain a relationship with the community. I love the passage that you just shared because it picks out for me that beginning awakening moment in which this message of shalom, peace from God, is beginning in the relationship with his disciples. He is reaching them in a time that they are broken in their most way. I mean, they have reached that pinnacle of feeling that they are the least worthy. They're in a room that's locked. They're still together. And they are afraid. And it was in their midst that Jesus appears. And his words, his offering to them was what? Peace. He gave them his peace. He gave to them a shalom. And what this passage tells me is that they didn't just sit there with it and hold it in their hands. They didn't just say, oh, this is great. This is a measure of what I needed. They began to realize that there were others who needed this shalom. Scripture tells us that they then recognized that one was not with them. And they went to him, Thomas. They approached him, and they witnessed to him as they say to him, we have seen the Christ. Thomas has his doubts, and he questions, and he even makes the conditions of where his faith would come from. Now, the beautiful part of this passage is what you see in the next verse. Let your reader now read to your group, verse 25.
But he said unto them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger out where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it.
Is, we're going to a world that's going to put out some conditions about what really took place here. You may go home and say, shalom, y'all. You may go home and say, I have found shalom. I've discovered shalom. I've chosen to live a life of shalom. Your faith may be at its peak right now. And you may encounter a world of doubt. Beautiful thing is the scriptures don't just stop and give us the idea of what our circumstances would be. This passage also tells us how to work through that kind of insecurity or doubt in our world. Read the next verse.
A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe.
And now I add another element. Did you hear it? These disciples went to Thomas, and they did what you and I are willing to do so often. We know them and we say, you missed it. You missed it. We had a senior high tri-district camp. We talked about shalom. All the cool people were there. Where were you? You missed it. Something great happened. I can't even begin to describe it to you, but something great happened. You know what? They had a plan, right, John? They had a plan, and Jesus came with his plan. And everything wasn't perfect, but it was meaningful. It was powerful. I wish you could experience it. We're all willing to do that. But the next part of that passage you just read, that verse 26, is critical because it says to us what we really must do if we wish to be a community of shalom. A community of shalom is willing to not just deliver the word that you meant, but it invites them in. And it blows my mind. And that next verse, verse 26, what you're witnessing there is that these disciples took Thomas back to the room where it happened. And they were there with him. The door's locked again. They are with him in his experience. All of them are there. Not because they haven't seen it before. They're there because they want to share their experience with someone who hasn't yet experienced it. Their shalom becomes the motivation for them to bring Thomas a shalom experience. Well, we know how the story goes on from there. But this is the question we're challenged with today. If we really want to become a part of community, we've got to be willing to do more than just tell everybody what happened. It's not enough. You got to be able to sit with them. You got to be able to experience it with them. You got to be able to share with them in their experience. And so, in some way, I sense today that we're really needing to commit to more than just a routine. We're needing to commit deeper than just to tell somebody what happened here. We need a commitment of community that says that we're willing to relive the experience wherever we are and with anyone who's willing to share. Now, here's the deeper question for you and me. How will you share your shalom in your youth group, in your church, in your home, in your circles of friendship, in those places where perhaps the world right now is least expected? I'm not asking that you go and let them see shalom in you. I'm asking that you go and help create an environment of shalom for them. In Romans chapter 5, there's a wonderful passage there where Paul's also sharing about this message of peace. And he talks about the fact that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It wasn't at a point in which we were okay with it. It was the point in which we were least willing to accept that Christ made that the moment that he would give for us and live with you and live with me and with every generation of people who will listen and experience it again. The power of shalom. His peace. A peace that's beyond the understanding of this world. A peace that the world really can't even take away. A true shalom experience was given in the moment that we needed it the most. We're going to share the table. We're going to commune as community. I want to invite you to receive these elements and experience, not just taste. I want you to live it with Christ in your heart. I want you to live this with each other. I want you to embrace the measure of God's love for you. A love, which as Paul again says in chapter 5 there in Romans, that gives us the honor and the privilege and the hope of those who can share God's peace. It was a night in which Jesus, in community with his disciples, those whom he loved, then he took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to those who would share his shalom. And he said, "Take and eat. This is my body which is broken for you." Likewise, when the supper was over, he took the cup. He blessed it. And then he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Drink from this, all of you. For this is my covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink in remembrance of me." But we're not worthy. We don't deserve it. We didn't earn it. But remember, God gave it in the moment that we needed it the most. still doing that today. As we remember how he was broken, we're reminded how his design was to make us whole. His purpose was to give us shalom. When we share from the same cup and the same covenant of love, we're reminded of how his desire was that we would be cleansed and made new and offered the new hope and the new promise. And so it is with the confidence of God's children that we come receiving his gift at this table of community and communion. And our gifts are in small measure to what he offers you and me. I'm going to invite a counselor from each group to come forward and to receive elements that will then be shared with your small group.